Welcome back to What in the World. This is a podcast where we talk about all sort of metaphysical, crazy stuff. With me today, I have Dave Burke.
Hello.
And Lisa Frith.
Hello.
And I am Ayamanatara. So what you got for us today, Dave?
So, I was encouraged to bring us back down to Earth, but I'm so not. but I'm going the opposite way.
Sweet.
Last time we talked very little about physics changing between interdimensional and interplanar kind of thing. So kind of spitting off of that, but staying within our plane. I was actually, when I was driving here, it occurred to me that our zodiac in our way of interpreting astrological aspects is very Terran-centric.
Totally.
And that's one of the arguments against it from the scientific community. So, my
question...
But
that's where we are.
Right. I get that. So it gets me to thinking... in kind of a noodly way, going back to 72, since we're going to noodle. Stipulating that there are other races around, and which means that there are other planets around that are inhabited, it just stands to reason that at least some of them will have a similar system of belief at some point in their civilization. So... what we see, you know, we have our zodiac signs. We have Capricorn, which is the best because that's where I am. we have Caps, we have Aries, we have Taurus, we have Cancers, we have, you know, everybody around. And it's based on the way we view the stars.
Sure. Because those constellations don't exist from other points of view.
Right. Exactly. And that's where I was going. You know, a lot of people say, well, vibrationally, this is the way these signs work. So, in these other places, where these constellations don't have the same configuration, or maybe don't even exist, you know, how does that work on different planets out there? You know, how does that affect the quote-unquote, and now I'm going to be specious, how does that affect the reptilians versus the Syrians, you know?
Well, the reptilians are like three or four different planets.
Right, exactly.
But, okay, so let me...
They all look alike anyway, so it's okay.
Oh, my God! There's the species right there. Okay. So, so let me go back to, like, the zodiac system on this planet for a moment. The zodiac sun signs are gates through which we come into this space as spirit. And so the gate that we choose to come through speaks to the choices that we've made about what we want to experience in this iteration, this lifetime, if you will. In order to break free of old patterns. Because that's what we're doing in lifetimes anyway. And so in that sense, you can actually picture them as addresses on a stargate.
Brilliant.
And it speaks to some of the clothing that you have taken on as this meat suit in order to navigate this space in this lifetime. So that is a particularly Terran or Gaian thing. Okay? Because this space is very much that hardcore intensive boot camp type school. you know, where we are trying to push through a bunch of stuff all at once and experience spiritual growth on a level that is kind of spectacular. So in other places, so there is life on Venus. We just can't perceive it because it's on a different level, you know. So a lot of the other places that we're interested in, because we've had contact with them, you know, there may be places that are less evolved than ours, rather than more evolved than ours. But we don't tend to care about that shit because we don't know who they are. There's been no contact, you know. But so on higher levels, the beings tend to be more conscious about their iterations and, in fact, don't reiterate with the speed at which humans do. You know, there's a reason why we decided that a lot of the aliens were gods, because they lived a really long-ass time in relation to how long we lived, because we have to go through this rapid cycle iteration in order to achieve what it is we want to achieve. In the reality that they come from, first of all, time is also a innately human thing. And we've made it linear for God knows what reason. Because it's not, but it's cyclical. The idea of horoscopes and zodiac signs as fortune telling is part of the Maya that keeps us controlled. It doesn't have a spiritual point to it. You know, and honestly, when you look at, like, you know, your numerology chart or your astrological chart or whatever, it teaches you what pitfalls you've chosen to take on in this lifetime so that you can figure out how to transcend them. It doesn't talk about you. It's not supposed to keep you stuck in an aspect of self. So in other places, and I'm going to use Pleiadian as an example because I'm kind of seeing that right now. They don't find it necessary to reiterate at the speed that we do, or in fact, really at all. They just kind of always are. And so the idea of coming through a particular gate into this lifetime, whatever iteration they're in, is kind of foreign to them. Because they're just in life. They don't have reincarnation because they don't really... Death is a very this plane sort of thing. You know, the idea of moving into the weird other consciousness of the dreaming or death and then coming back into this consciousness is a very particularly human thing. Humans are the only beings in the universe with a negative ego that we experience at the level we experience it at. It's an operating system that's incredibly foreign to most other species, including some cats. Of us.
So then...
And let me just real quick, okay, like, yeah. when I teach animal communication, one of the things that I really try to impress on my students is that if you're trying to talk to a critter, don't try to communicate the way you communicate with humans, because we tend to talk from our third chakra. And critters don't have a third chakra. That's where the ego sits. They communicate heart chakra to heart chakra. And so you literally have to pull your energy up into your heart in order to communicate with critters. It's like we speak Spanish and we speak Italian and they speak Spanish. You know, if you speak Spanish, you can totally understand Italian. If you speak Italian, it's harder to understand Spanish. You know, we literally have to do kind of a paradigm shift and move into a different operating system in order to talk to animals. We are literally the only beings in the universe who have, like, that kind of a third chakra. Anyway, what were you going to ask?
So... You know, just going off of the Stargate concept, and this is where we choose to enter through, because we have shit to process.
Yeah.
So anyone who's looked at an astrological chart knows how complicated it can be. I mean, you know, you've got the base signs, you've got the different houses, you got the different aspects, rising, waning, all that. So when we have shit to work out and we're choosing that, does that mean that at the point of the creation onto this plane,
are you talking about like at the point of first breath?
I'm talking about this incarnation.
Oh, okay, so first breath in this incarnation.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so we're creating, so it sounds almost like we've got a laundry list of things that we're trying to fit in through to work on these aspects of ourselves. So does that mean that we choose that path to enter in, and that leads to different times of incarnation, linearly speaking?
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay.
So let me back up just a little bit. So humans do this really fascinating thing. Anytime something happens, whether nature does a thing, another human being does a thing, an entire group does a thing, or we do a thing as individuals, and we choose to hold on to that, it's almost like we pick up a rock and we stick it in our backpack. Okay? And that is my definition of karma. Is something happened, we held on to it, and now we're carrying that shit around.
Which is illegal in California, so don't do it. Just saying.
And my friend Phil likes to say also, don't lick rocks in California. Most of them are poisonous or radioactive. Anyway, sorry, Phil. don't mean to name check you in my podcast. So, from a spiritual point of view, that's sort of our lower vibration self, like not even necessarily meat suit, maybe a little bit above meat suit, but it's kind of part of our consciousness. And we carry that backpack, those rocks, through lifetime to lifetime until we decide to let go of a fucking rock. Okay, and those are our patterns in that. Well, patterns are an opportunity to heal an originating wound. So every time a pattern comes up, it's an opportunity to go, oh, this rock. I do not need this rock anymore. I will put this rock down. And so that's what the patterns are. And they get louder and louder and louder because our highest self kind of goes, I'm getting really sick of this. You want to move past this now? Drop the rock. You know. Until finally our human self goes, hey, I'm really sick of this. Maybe I should do something differently. So yes, absolutely. Our highest self makes those choices, and not really highest self, but our highest individuated self, makes those choices about when we're going to take first breath in a given iteration based on what those rocks are in our backpack, because ultimately, spirit would like us to drop all of those rocks, you know. And in fact, we choose at that level, we choose both of our parents and how that coital interaction happens, because that lays the groundwork for the pattern we're going to experience in this iteration. You know, we take on the energy of both parents at the moment of conception. So, you know, what does that tell you about a lot of stuff? And every strong emotion that mom has while we're in utero, we are imprinted with. So all along the way, we are setting up the parameters for the experience we need to have in order to try to drop as many rocks as possible. So yeah, absolutely. We look at that pattern of what turns into an astrological chart, and we go, that one's going to be best for what we want to do. You know, and it's not about learning lessons in a I'm being punished sort of a way. No, it's we are choosing to give ourselves the opportunity to drop as many rocks as possible, to free ourselves up. You know, the karma is not about punishment. Karma is about opportunity.
For rock dropping.
Right. Put down the rock.
So is it then the same, speaking like can humans only choose to be human, or can they choose to incarnate as a different celestial being?
So, oh, that becomes so much fun. Okay, so as much as I want to talk about not noodling, here we go. because time is a human illusion. Time does not exist, so everything is happening simultaneously. But if you were going to create a linear or cyclical time experience, there is a certain school of thought that says that we, you know, and every piece of information has multiple levels, and so, you know, I'm speaking to one level of this information.
Sure.
But we go through a bunch of incarnations or a bunch of iterations in other places before we come here.
Sure.
And this is the place where we go, and I want to get rid of all of that goo I've picked up everywhere else. And sometimes it's not even that. Sometimes it's like Yeshua Messiah went through a number of iterations elsewhere before he came here and was one other iteration here before he was Jesus. And there was this, I have achieved, you know, as much freedom as I can in that space. Now I'm going to come here and do that because it's a stronger, this is grad school. You know, this is your doctorate program. You know, this is heavy, hardcore stuff. This is where the heavy lifting happens. And while in other spaces you can have a lighter vibration or a higher vibration, and you can do things like communicating via, you know, thought and an impulse rather than this weird language thing, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you don't experience as much growth doing that. This is hard. This is, again, the weights are heavy on the machine here, you know? And I realize I've contradicted myself and said we go through other iterations elsewhere and then we come here, and I also said that there are no other iterations except for humans. And both are true, you know, because you're looking at information from different levels, and it depends what we want to experience. And ultimately, the only thing that is not illusion in some way is the fact that we are all part of the all that is, you know, which is why this is noodly. I study Kabbalah for a reason. Part of me likes noodly. But yeah, so we do, in fact, it's not that we can choose to show up elsewhere. We do choose to show up elsewhere. It's just this is where we really get to drop all of the goo, all of the rocks, you know?
And then what happens?
I don't know. Wait and see. More will be revealed. You'll never guess what happens next. you know, it's funny. The stuff that we bring here from elsewhere in our backpack, as it were, for the most part, at least in my experience with my, like, past life recall and that kind of stuff, is all stuff where I have allowed myself to be disempowered, or I have allowed myself to disempower myself. Mm. And so what I'm doing is I'm unpacking these rocks out of the backpack as I am reconnecting with my power. You know, you have to go through, I guess you don't have to, but you've chosen to because you're here, go through some heavy lifting and stuff in order to get back to that point where you remember who you are and you no longer need those pyramids, as it were. You know? You know, on some level, those colonists are us. They're part of our hologram. You know, they created stuff. We created stuff through them as past whatever, to point us back to where we came from, which is the heavens, is the void, is the stars. I mean, you know, we are made of stars. You know, and part of that message, like the most base level of that message is don't get stuck. Don't let the illusion that you yourself have created of separation keep you from your power. Look up. Yeah. Noodly enough for you?
Donny too.
You know, and I mean, different clues are going to speak to different people too, you know. I just find that whenever I see anybody getting too, like, rabbit hole-ish on any information, I'm like, oh, that's a trap. Yeah. You know, it may be an entirely fun trap, don't get me wrong, you know. And there's nothing that says that I can't play with those traps. I'm apparently at a point where I look at the traps and I go, not today.
Well, I think there is so much information and so many different ways to get it. And, you know, you're drawn to one shiny thing and then maybe 6 months down the road it's another shiny thing. But I think they're all good tools depending on what you get and what you do choose to do with it. I think if you lock yourself in the box, oh, I'm a Capricorn, so I can only do this rigid, dogmatic, you know, blah, 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 but, you know, I'm a Capricorn, but I, you know, can climb to the heights.
Well, and that's why you have all of those other aspects in your chart that affects that.
Right.
You know, if somebody was like a quadruple Capricorn, I'd be like, you really want to experience that rigidity? Okay.
Oh, you should see my chart. I have five or six aspects in Capricorn.
Cool. Look at how loudly you wanted to break out of rigidity.
Oh, yeah. And I'm having to work hard for it. I have to work very hard for it.
You might want to have words with your higher self on that one. I periodically have these moments where I just kind of like throw my hands up in the air at my higher self. And I'm like, really? We chose this?
Wow. What is this lesson?
Why would I do this? That seems dumb.
That big rock you're dropping, and how do we stop them from dropping on our head or our toe? Just kidding.
So yeah, where the heck do we go from there?
Thank you and good night. Just like trying to follow Roger Waters, you just don't do it.
Yeah.
Unless you just change direction totally.
Right. But, you know, I don't think we have enough time in this podcast to really do that.
Yeah.
Dave, tell me a little bit about how you got into this sort of inquiry.
That specific question? Or?
No, like, how did you get interested in all of this stuff?
There's a Capricorn in you, right?
Right.
You know what? It started in childhood, I guess, because you go back, you know, when I was doing paranormal investigation, people always ask, oh, well, how'd you get into it? And everyone has pretty much a common answer. It's like something happened to me when I was a kid, and then that got me interested, and then I started looking into it, and then people wouldn't talk about it, so I had to go look for information on my own. And really, so, you know, there was always the interest, but really where I started diving into it kind of hardcore was after grad school, like right after grad school. I had no more studying to do, but I was still in study mode. And so I picked up Fingerprints of the Gods, and that's also coincidentally when I started believing in marginalia. So I would just start writing in the book, and I'd be like, well, what about this, or what about this, or I made this connection. I would actually write, you know, I know to some people it's a sin,
nah,
but I would be writing notes in the book as I was reading along.
Sure.
And, I mean, that just opened up a whole, you know, you go from Graham Hancock to Michael Cremo to, I mean, you can involve Zechariah Sitchin in there and, you know, and everybody else. I mean, and it's just been growing and growing and growing because, you know, people are searching for answers and there's more anomalous, quote-unquote, things being discovered that have no good orthodox explanation. And so, at least, you know, whether or not these people are right, at least they're taking a philosophical bent and trying to present the information and make it fit somehow and inform theories as to how those things, why those things are around.
And it's so much better to sit in a sea of possibilities than in a box.
Yeah. And, you know, some people are like, well, what good does philosophy do? Well, it's like philosophy actually allows us to explore different questions and formulate those questions better. And it teaches us, at its base, critical thinking, which allows us to go, well, it follows from this to this to this. But then when that doesn't work out, okay, so where did I go back wrong? So you go and retrace your steps and go, oh, maybe it's not there. It actually goes in this direction instead. And so, I mean, you know, again, I hate to bring the Capricorn thing back in, but, you know, we're supposed to be so rigid and formulaic and all that stuff, but it also helps with the discipline of trying these different things and figuring out what works best for us, at least. So, on an individual basis, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Lisa, how'd you get into this sort of stuff?
Definitely always had more questions than answers, for sure, all my life. And then I saw a ship as a kid. So that definitely kept my toe in the door. It was a door I didn't really open until probably more 20 years. I was always into sci-fi and, you know, escaping into the King Arthur mythos and all that kind of stuff. But probably 15, 20 years ago, I really started looking for more out of life because I kind of got to the point we're borderline depression, but man, if all it is working and doing this, then Lisa out. But, you know, so it has opened up a whole world of possibilities. And when you see yourself as an infinite creator instead of just a cog on a horrible wheel, it's so much better.
Sure.
And I don't know that I have that many more answers than I did when I started, but I definitely have better questions. I'm with you on that.
Right on. Okay. Well, on that note, I guess we're going to end for the day.
Okay.
All right. So thanks very much for joining us. It's been Dave Burke.
Goodbye.
Lisa Frith.
Bye.
And Ayamanatara.
Bye.